Well, if we could put our slide up this morning for the start of our new series that we are going today. Does anybody recognize what that might be connected with? Yeah, some of you do, right? I probably should have done that before we sent some of the kids out this morning. They would have probably got it. So with a lot of the kids being gone in a little bit, I'm going to test your memory and your knowledge a little bit in the movie The Incredibles. But before we get there, let me just say to you that today is the start of just this new series called Being Incredible. And I felt like it was a good series jumping out of Easter, because in Easter we were talking about open tomb, you know, open tomb, open hearts, and that life transformation is all about Christ. And so if we're going to be a follower of Jesus, we believe that he is incredible and he calls us to be incredible followers, then what does maybe that look like a little bit and in the church to be an incredible Christian? And I wondered, is, you know, what makes an incredible Christian the number of people that get saved under them? Is that what makes an incredible Christian? And I thought, well, maybe is it the hours of serving in the life of the church that does it? Is it the number of committee meetings that they go to as a part of the church? Is it maybe the large, like, blocks of time that they spend in prayer and reading the scriptures that makes them incredible? But, well, what about having so many Bible verses memorized and Christian songs where they can almost sing every lyric in the song? Is that what does it? Do you have to become a worldwide missionary or change careers and become a pastor to be moving on? Even though that would be my story, but that's not what I was going for. Okay. Do you have to go to Christian conferences and read Christian theology and books on doctrine so that you can connect the dots and share the Christian faith in a post-Christian society? Is that what makes a person an incredible Christian? Is it those things, if you will? And I was thinking about just sort of things, what I've sort of noticed over in evangelical Christianity over the last several decades, which is, again, this is my opinion, but we, of which we're part of too, right? That we seem to have sort of propped up this image or this idea that if you can sort of check off multiple items from that list that I was kind of giving you, that really makes you an incredible Christian. Like, you look the part and you act the part, and, you know, God's got to be happy with you because you know so much and you do so much in the name of Jesus. And then I thought, well, what if I'm a newer Christian and I'm looking at this image of being an incredible follower of Jesus, and I'm thinking, my schedule's so busy, I don't have time for all of that. Like, I don't have the energy for all of that. I don't have the know-how. What does that even look like for me to even do all of that? And even if I did, I'm not sure I can see how that is going to really actually make me a better follower of Jesus. Like, how the busyness is going to make me better, and how that just throwing myself. So there's that sense of trying to see, how do I connect the dots on that? And then I thought of the movie The Incredibles. I'm not sure how it all happened. It was early in the morning over a cup of coffee, and it just sort of came together, you know? And I thought, I want to do this series, and I want to call it Being Incredible. And on purpose, I want to play off, I want it to be almost like a spoof of the actual movie itself. And I want to challenge the notion that being incredible is from doing incredible things. And I want to suggest, which you probably already know, that being incredible starts from within here. That being incredible to God starts here first. And out of your faith comes serving Christ through the church and loving God and loving people and all these things that we do as followers of Jesus. But really, it starts here. I got to thinking about that movie, The Incredibles, and they have these incredible adventures. If you've not seen it, sorry, I may give a little too much away, but maybe not. Anyhow, in the movie, they have these, it's a family, and they have these incredible adventures in the community, and they're going about, you know, they're trying to stop evil. They're on this mission of justice, and they're using their powers, and everything they do is because of the individual powers that each member of the family has, and of course, all these other superheroes that exist as well. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be fun today if we just quizzed everybody on the powers of the members of the family? And so this is the family. It's the dad, his name is Bob, Bob Parr, and his wife Helen to his left. And then they've got the daughter Violet and the daughter son Dash there. And who you do not see is then their newest child, the infant. They call him Jack-Jack, right? So maybe some of those of you have seen it, feel free to shout out. And if you're online with us, type it in there if you know the answer too. So let's see what you remember, right? Take a moment. Like, so for Bob Parr, Mr. Incredible, what was his superpower? Strength, right? He was super strong with things that he could do. All right, well done. So let's think of his wife, Helen, that she was called Elastigirl. Hint, hint. What was her superpower? You said she could stretch out, right? Yeah, absolutely. It was pretty phenomenal. Okay, and then their daughter, Violet. What about her? Force field, and she could disappear. She could go invisible all of a sudden, right? It's pretty phenomenal. Okay, so let's think now. The little brother, Dash, hint, hint. What could he do? He could go super, super fast. And then if you remember Jack-Jack, the baby, this is kind of a tricky one, but he like got them all. He could do all sorts of things. I didn't even know all the things that that he could do, right? All the powers that he had. It was rather incredible. And when you watch that movie, when you get to the end of it, really, through the movie, let me just say this. They're always working through some kind of conflict. There's always something that's going on in the background, personally, in the family, as they're fighting for justice. And if you've seen the movies, you know, like, I think in both of them, there's a one and two, right? And so in both of those, there's like, at some point in the movie, you'll see like the husband and wife, they're fighting together. And while they're fighting, they're like having this marriage discussion about something that's going on in their marriage, right? But they're still fighting together for justice. Pretty humorous. And at the end, what you end up finding out is that really what makes them incredible was not as much what they did or all the powers they had, but it was really their commitment to the family through thick and thin, you know, and to the mission at hand to fight for justice, that justice mattered. That's a great conversation topic in the world today, right? That justice matters. And as hard as the challenges got for them, and they got discouraged at times, just I would guess you and I, we get discouraged at times when the challenge is hard in life. They don't quit. They don't stop. They completely believe in their calling to be a superhero, and they're committed to their mission. They're not going to waver from it. They have love for one another, that they will fight through whatever's in front of them, because they care about each other and the family matters. Their heart is in it. They believe in it. And as I say, I think that'll preach. If we think about what makes a person an incredible Christian, I think this movie has a great analogy for us, because I would say to us, what makes someone incredible Christian? It's a commitment to God and the kingdom building mission. It's a commitment. It's having your heart in it. It's believing in the mission that is at hand. What makes you an incredible follower of Jesus is not the volume. It's not the scope. It's like, wow, like if I could be like Billy Graham, I'd be incredible. It's not the scope, the size. We live in a culture that glorifies big projects, that glorifies doing many, many and great things, and oh my goodness, and the accolades and all of that. That's the culture we live in. That's very much Western society. And I think the scripture challenges the idea of what makes one incredible, that it's not the volume of what you do and it's not the scope of what you do. It's the commitment to God in which you do what you do. You tracking? That faith matters. Think of Noah. Noah had God tell him one day that he needed to build this massive boat. And there hadn't been any rain. And God was like, it's going to rain. Hey, you need to build a boat. Okay. Really? All right then. Well, okay, we'll build a boat. And so he's building the boat. People ridicule. He's like, you're off your rocker. You've lost your mind. And he just continues to build the ark. And then what happens? The rain, right? Absolutely. Noah's heart was in it. Did he have all the answers? Nope. But his heart was in it. And he was committed to God. And he was committed to the mission that God had set before him. In his heart, I believe, it was settled. Abraham. God tells Abraham one day, would you pick up all your family and your belongings, and would you just go ahead and take a trip and move? And I'll show you where you're going to land. But you just need to go. Can you imagine being Abraham telling all your family and all your stuff, and he would have had a fair amount. And we're leaving and we're moving. Oh, where are you moving to? I don't really know yet. How long is it going to take? I don't exactly know. What are you going to do when you get there? Well, I don't really know. But God wants me to go, so I'm committed. My heart's in it. It's settled. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. I'm going to go. Gideon, you're going to fight this battle with all these warriors, and you're going to, oh, well, won't you take away part of them? Well, they're a whole lot greater in number than we are. I know, but you know what? Won't you take away some more of these too? It's like, interesting, okay. By faith, go fight the battle with these. Then there's no reason that he should really win that battle. But he wins the battle. Gideon's heart was in it. It was settled for him. He believed in the mission God had given him. Anybody heard the Apostle Paul? You ever heard the Apostle Paul in Scripture? Great, a few of you. So, just kidding, I know you guys know Apostle Paul. And so the Apostle Paul, he gets called by God to be an apostle, to go out and travel and be on mission and to go preach the gospel, talk about the good news that the Messiah had come, he died on the cross, he was raised from the dead. And so he goes out on multiple missionary journeys, and he leaves his family, he leaves his friends, he leaves his work, and he just picks up and he goes. And he probably doesn't even take his pillow with him. Am I the only one that does that? When you travel, you take your pillow with you? Anyway, so, and he just goes, and he's gone for weeks and months at a time. And when we read his story and we listen to what he has written, we find out that he endured shipwreck and persecution and rejection, suffering, ridicule, eventually death, but he didn't give up. He faced all these incredible odds, but he didn't give up. He was committed to this calling that God wanted him to be an ambassador for the good news out into the world, as they kind of knew the world, right, and understood how big it was at the time. And whatever the cost that Paul had in front of him, he saw the cost, he counted the cost, and he said it's worth paying the price. Because the reward and the calling is what matters more than the cost. For whatever I pay, God will reimburse at some point. So it's settled. I'm committed. You might remember Apostle Peter, right? So the Apostle Peter, he denied Christ. Do you remember how many times when Christ was going to the Passion? How many times did he deny him? 3 times. And then after Jesus was risen from the dead, Jesus comes to them and right, he's on the shore and they have breakfast after fishing and And then Jesus sort of directs conversation to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? And what's Peter say? Yes, Lord, I love you. And he says the second time, hey, yo, P, you love me? He says, well, I done told you, yes. And then he goes a third time. He's like, hey, Peter, do you love me? Can you imagine how perturbed Peter's getting? I done told you, yes. This is the third time you've asked me. Perhaps it's not by coincidence that he denied him three times, and yet three times Jesus asked him, do you love me? Is your heart in it? Are you committed? Do you believe in the mission? Do you believe in me? Will you go feed my lambs? Will you take care of my sheep, right? Will you take care of the church? Will you go out and be my ambassador, be my representative, and love people like I have been loving you all along? Will you go do that, Peter? Are you sold out for that? That's what he's getting at. What about Jesus? You know, at some point I had to get there. Jesus. Anybody here agree that Jesus is incredible? Yes. Excellent. I got more hands on that than anything else today, and that's fantastic. Absolutely. Why would you say that Jesus is incredible? Because he went to the cross. But you say he's incredible. He died for our sins, and the fact that actually his death could forgive our sins, and that he rose from the dead and the tomb was empty, and he cut right and he's alive. He overcomes death and the grave, and so we have that same victory applied to us through Christ. It's absolutely wonderful. We go, he's incredible. Could we also say that he was incredible before either of those two events happened? And again, you go, absolutely. Why? Because he's Jesus, man. Yeah, more specifically, I wonder if one of the reasons we could say, because there's multiple, but maybe one of the reasons is that he had an incredible faith that never wavered from his commitment to the Father's plan, that his purpose for being on earth was to go to the cross ultimately and to be risen from the dead on the third day, as prophesied, as foretold, and he knew that that was what was eventually awaiting him. And in the midst of how incredible the opposition facing him was, he didn't waver. He said, my heart's in it. I'm committed. I believe in what I'm doing. That nothing matters more than what is going to be accomplished through this. I've got to do this. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying, right, to the Father, and he says, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. But then he prays, yet not as I will, but as you will. You don't pray that kind of prayer unless your heart is in it. You're committed. You believe in what you're doing for God. That's the idea. Jesus knew the impact that would come because of his commitment to the Father's will. Go back to that screen before with all the names on it. Those are not just random names, by the way. Some of you probably recognize some of those names that are on that slide. And if you were to go to the book of Hebrews, which you don't have to do this morning, but if you were to go and look at sort of the Hall of Faith, right, the Hall of Fame, right, of all the character talks about who lived life by faith and a great impact, you would see those names, except for Peter and Paul, Mary. Yep. I think I got them all there. Anyways, are listed. Gideon's Noah would not be on there. But anyways. They're listed on that page. And the author in Hebrews says that there are so many people that have come before you that have faced incredible odds, and many martyred died for the faith. And in the midst of incredible odds, they held on to an incredible faith, and the results of which were incredible. And since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses who have that kind of story, may we too be like them. And may we live daily the type of faith that says, Lord, when I get up today, I don't know what's going to, I'm going to face. I don't know how my body is going to respond to me getting out of bed today. And some days it's like that. I don't know what I'm going to face when I go to work today. I don't know what I'm going to face when I have to talk to my neighbor and we haven't really seen eye to eye forever. I don't know. But yet, Lord, I do know that you honor the faith of those who seek you. And I do know that your word says if anyone desires wisdom in how to live life in such a way that God will, that you will be honored, that your Holy Spirit will teach that person what type of decisions to make. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who will give with all liberality and without finding fault in the book of James. God wants each of us to live daily in his wisdom. And you and I both know that the great struggle is that we can tend to default to our own sense of wisdom before we tap into God's wisdom. We respond first by how we feel and our maybe our frustrations or our hurts or our angers or our brokenness, or it's like how I know I've been there. We can respond out of being hangry instead of holy. Oh, I like that. I just came up with that. Like, that works, right? I don't know. You know, hey, I don't know. I only joke about that because that is that's a regular struggle for me. I have to try to stay on top of that. But whichever character you would say pick from this list of names on the screen, and they all have their own stories of incredible faith, incredible outcomes, absolutely. Each one's impact began with their commitment to God. So they believed in what they were doing for God. They believed in this partnership with God. They believed in this calling that God had given them, and their hearts were in it. As I said before, it wasn't the scope. If you look at Hebrews doesn't talk about, oh, look at the volume of work they did. Look at the scope of how great and grand their works for God were. It doesn't go there because that's not the point. It goes to their faith. It says, look at the faith that they had. Look at the faith that was guiding their decision making. Look at the faith that inspired their boldness. Look at the faith that inspired great courage to take on what was tough in front of them, because their heart was in it to say yes to the Lord, to do what they knew was the right thing to do, even though it was going to be super hard to carry through. None of us are incredible because of our works for God, but by the faith with which we do them. You put that slide up there. One of the popular verses, I think, is a great underpinning for this truth that, and maybe you've probably heard it before. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You want to read it with me? Can you read it on the screen? Sorry, it's a little small. But let's try this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So acknowledge him. Put your faith in him. Be committed to him. Believe. Have your heart in it. Be sold out. That he is truly the way. And as we sang today, that his truth is the truth. And that the life that he gives is truly the life worth having. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Trust in the Lord. Even when it's hard to see, don't stop. Because when you face great, incredible obstacles with an incredible faith, which is simply to say, Lord, I believe and I'm committed to you, even right now when it's super hard, that's what the Lord sees and says, that's an incredible faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Faith that says, I believe. Maybe the prayer is to say, like was said before, Lord, I believe. Please help me in my unbelief. Please help me. Or maybe I fall short in thinking that you actually are that big, like you are that strong, and you do have that much wisdom, and you do understand, like you really can handle that. Lord, it seems like that would almost be miraculous. I guess if you could miraculously come out of the tomb, then it's proper that I would believe that you are a God of miracles and that you can bring about incredible results and outcomes for your glory with my faith, through my faith, by the power of your grace in me. Lord, help me believe that as I go to work today. When I teach the kids, help me to remember this today. When my patience is tested, help me to remember that you are the great provider. When I'm tired and I'm worn out, help me remember that you are the sustainer and the God of strength. When I'm hurting and feeling broken, help me, God, to remember that you are the God who puts together the broken, because you are a miracle-working great physician. And so help me just trust you today, one day at a time. Just help me today, and we'll tackle tomorrow when it gets here. You don't have to have amazing talents and skills. You don't have to do everything in life for the church. You don't always have to, right, say, I'm going to do that. You don't have to have superpowers to be an incredible Christian. You won't find all that in Scripture. You will find that to be an incredible Christian, you need to start with love for God. You start with trusting the Lord. You start with loving your neighbor, even the ones that are hard to love, right? You choose to love those folks. When somebody offends you, you love the offender. You choose to listen. You choose to be obedient to the Lord. Not because you want to be incredible or you want people to think that you're incredible, Christian, but because you're committed to loving people as Jesus has loved you. And you want to live every day by faith and just let God work out the pieces. That's what he does anyhow. Being committed, it's part of being credible. I've got a couple other ideas in Scripture of what it means to be an incredible follower of Jesus, and I want to share those with you over the next 2 weeks. So come back. Come back for more. Worship again and again and again, and let's keep telling the good news of Jesus, because that's what we're here for. Amen to that.